I'm just going to let you all know, I am not a typical speaker. I don't speak in front of people. I've never really felt led to. You give me a microphone and a worship song and I'm good to go. But you give me something to talk about and it's not my forte. So it was really surprising and really humbling when Nancy put forth this specific workshop, and it's, you know, with God's help, we will do valiantly. And through studying and just going forward, it's been, like I said, it's just been really humbling, and it's just really been awesome to see what God can do with all of that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. We'll go ahead and get started. Father God, I just thank you that we are here together. We are here just to seek you, to understand you more, to learn about you. I thank you, Lord God, that you are in this place, Lord. And I thank you that you are giving me the words to speak, Lord, that it's not my message, it's not anything that I have, it's all you and everything that you want spoken and you want said. So Father God, I just pray for open ears. Ears to hear, Lord God. I pray for open hearts. And I just thank you that we are just ready to receive your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so like I said, this workshop is, with God's help, we will do valiantly. And that scripture comes from Psalm 60, verse 12. So if you want to turn there, you can go ahead and do that. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time right there. We're going to kind of jump back and forth. We'll be in 1 Samuel a little bit, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 23, I believe. But go ahead and turn to the main verse. And like I said, it's Psalms verse 60. We're going to start at, we'll read verse 12. We're going to jump back just a little bit here in a minute. But I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and it says, "Through God we will do valiantly." What that means is, we'll just break it down. Through God, which is basically self-explanatory. It's all about him. It's everything that he does. It's everything that he is. It's who he is. It's through him. But we will do valiantly. If you go back and look at valiantly, that word comes from the Hebrew word, if I can do this. It's like hawking up a loogie, I'm telling you what. It's like high heel. And when you go back and research that word means power. Or strength, means wealth, ability. We can accomplish everything with the power of God, through God. We have wealth through God. We have the ability through God. And we are valiant through God. We notice throughout the Bible in many instances where battles rage, whether they be physical, mental, or spiritual. Some of these battles can look like, you know, we got this. We're going to do this. We've got this in the bag. Everything's fine. Other battles, you know, I don't know how this is going to go. And then there's some that you just get walloped. And that still holds true today because, you know, there's battles that we go through and it's, okay, God, I got this. We got this together. We're going to take this. We're going to do this. There's other battles where it's like, or wars. We won this battle. This battle's still raging. This is a rough battle. You've got to help me. And then there's other battles where we don't go in prepared. We don't go in ready. We don't go in through, you know, with God at the forefront. And we get completely walloped. So we're going to look at an example of each of these. So I'm going to have you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And while we're turning there, I meant to do this at the beginning before I got started, but I'm going to give you just a little history about me. I want us to be able to connect a little bit. Most of you guys, some of you know me, most of you don't, but my name is Chris. I'm from here in Parkersburg. My wife, Adriana, is sitting right here in the front row. She's really pretty, and I really like her a lot. And she didn't pay me to say that, I promise. But we have three children, and we have one on the way, which most of you found out last night. So Sabra didn't know. She's like, what? So we found out we're about 10 weeks along, and Like I told everybody last night, Nancy actually prophesied at this exact conference last year that there was one more and that she saw a boy. And although we haven't found out exactly what it is yet, we're believing for that boy because it'll even the playing field just a little bit. So we're super excited. I grew up here in Parkersburg. I did not have a typical family life. I didn't have a typical home life. I had a completely absent father and a very absent mother. I was raised by my grandparents, which was, in the long run, it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened for me because it instilled a lot of values in me that I probably wouldn't have gotten, you know, another way around. But at the same time, it put a lot of battles in my life. Because of a disconnect with my earthly father, I had a very hard time with getting a connection with my heavenly father. And that's still something that at times I've struggled with throughout my life, but it's something that we're overcoming and we're coming through and we're pushing forward. One battle that I have really had, I just want to be honest, open and honest with you guys. A few years ago, it's probably been, this is before I met you, 10 years ago, this year actually, I was really on fire. I was really on fire for God. I had gotten connected with the church. I'd, you know, really, really pushed forward and really just started taking a hold of the things of God. And Satan's like, no, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you here. And I started having these random seizures out of nowhere. There's no history in my family. There was no history in my life. There was nothing. And I've seen how God worked in those situations. I was in Columbus, which some of you, most of you are from around this area, in Columbus. I was at the zoo up there. And we were getting ready to, it was me and my then girlfriend, we were getting ready to leave. Hopped in the car, started driving. I had a seizure while I'm driving. And I saw God's favor. Even though I didn't know that that was a battle at that moment, I saw God's favor in that battle. I've had seizures I worked at a bank. And the bank that I worked at, it was downtown Parkersburg, and there's a big building, which was the main building, which where all the tellers were and all that kind of stuff. And then I worked in bookkeeping, and it's a separate building across the road. So I had to go back and forth all the time. I had seizures right there on that corner of that road, like right in the middle of the road, right in the middle of traffic, right in all that. And I saw like God's protection in all of that. And I say that to say this. Sometimes the battles are battles we don't even know that we're in. At the time, I didn't know that that was a complete battle for me. I just thought, you know what? This is life. This is how this goes. This is how it's always going to be. This is how it's always, you know, it's just going to continue like this. This is going to be a lifelong thing. I'm going to need medication. I'm going to need da 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 da. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I went through probably 5 years, I think. I think it's about 5 years. I haven't had one in so long that I can't remember how long it's been. So that's, praise God for that. But it was a struggle for about 5 years to the point where, it got to the point where people would pray for me and I'm like, you know what? I'm taking a hold of this. I'm taking a hold of who Jesus is. I'm taking a hold of everything that he's provided. I'm taking a hold of everything that he stands for, everything that he has done for me. I'm taking a hold of it, and I'm not accepting this anymore. And that battle was done. It was done. So praise God for that. But anyway, we're going to look at 1 Samuel. That's a little bit about me. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, if I can get there. Okay, so in the beginning of 1 Samuel, you see, especially in chapter 4, Israel's in battle with the Philistines, always. It's basically just always. And the Philistines are just walloping on them. Like, you know, they went out and they had a battle. 4,000 Israelites, you know, are killed at that battle. And instead of, and there's a lot of other things that are in play here, but instead of Israel repenting and taking a hold of God and being like, God, what do we do? What is it that you want us to do? They decide that the best thing for them to do is to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, or into the city, and into their camp. And that's going to scare the Philistines. That's going to take care of all their problems. You know, God's presence is going to be there. It's going to, you know, all this stuff. But it wasn't what God had for them. It wasn't what God wanted for them to do. And so as you continue down, we are in verse... verse 6. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does that sound of the great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. But the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us." And as you go down through there, into verse 10, the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. They weren't seeking God's direction. They weren't seeking God's will for the battle, even though that it seemed like something that they might, like, this is a good option for us. The good option isn't always the best option. The good option isn't always God's option. The good option isn't always the option to go with. And how many times do we put ourselves in situations where the next thing is going to do it for us? You know what I mean? You know, the next job, the next money that we bring in, the next car that we buy, the next thing, you know, that's going to fill this void, the next thing that's going to do this, the next thing that's going to do that, instead of seeking out exactly what God has for us, exactly what God wants, because in the end, it's not any of those things. It's not me that provides a job, or me that provides the finances, or me that provides this, or me that provides the victory in whatever battle that I'm going through. It's completely God. It's completely God in all of those situations. So, we neglect to remember that it is God who supplies all things. He is the one who gives, who saves, who supplies, who heals. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. But I don't want to end on this note, in chapter 4, because... Where's the God of love? Where's the God who saves? Where's the God of victory and power and everything? Well, if you go just a few chapters later, you come into 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is where we see David basically explode in onto the scene. And everybody knows the story. It's David and Goliath. And I'm missing a page of notes. No, I'm not. I got it. David, I love David because I identify with David. I identify with the heart of David. David doesn't always get it right. He gets it wrong a lot of times. But David's heart is after God. David, I like to think, is a type and shadow of Jesus. He gave us a view into the Messiah because David, I mean, we all know the story, but basically, the Israelites and the Philistines are fighting again. And the Israelites have been in a standstill for 40 days and 40 nights, which is type and shadow of Jesus right there. Wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights. But anyway, and they're frozen. They won't fight. Israel won't fight. The Philistines have this big, colossal dude, 9 feet, 9 inches tall, Goliath. He's, you know, and he mocks them. He mocks them. And it's the same way that he mocked the people of God the same way that sin mocks people now. You know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying there? He taunted the people of God. But David came unsuspectingly, doing the will of his father, just as Jesus did the will of his father. David heard the giant, all of the things that he said, while the Israelites shook with fear. They shook with fear. Do we shake with fear a lot of times in the battle? Do we get scared a lot of times in the battle? I do. I'm scared right now. Like, I'm freaking out right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't talk. I'm fidgeting with my button. I'm doing like, you know. But sometimes we have to do it afraid. What other option do we really have? You know, even though that David may have been completely confident in what God was going to do, that doesn't mean that he wasn't intimidated by this 9-foot-tall giant. You know, I'm 6 foot tall, and I'm like, I have two brothers that are almost 7 feet tall, and I mean, just to talk to them, I'm like, you know, but somebody that's 9 feet tall that is like, you would think impossible to overcome. I'm sure he was scared, but he was confident in what the Lord was doing. David took out 5 smooth stones, 5 being the number of grace. Just like Jesus came with the gift of grace. And instead of acting on his fear, instead of acting out of fear, David ran. He ran towards Goliath. He fought that battle face on, knowing and expecting confidently that God was going to provide. He was going to provide. He provided the stones, because I believe that. I mean, they were right there. He's going to provide the aim. You know, when he throws that slingshot and that stone goes flying, like, I'm not a good shot. Like, there's no way. If I tried to do that, forget it. And David was a shepherd boy. So, I mean, you doing shot put out there? You know, like, what? You're you know, wrangling. You're, you know, taking care of the sheep and all that kind of stuff. But David ran. Just like Jesus came so focused to defeat the ultimate nemesis, which was sin. And then you ever been in a battle where you think it's over and then it's not? You know what I mean? Like, you think this thing's done, you think that, you know, you got it licked, you think that it's been beat, you think that it's over, done with, you know, wash my hands of it, and then boom, it comes back. And what I love about David is that, making sure that Goliath didn't come back, he cut off that head. You know what I mean? Just like how Jesus cut off the head of the serpent. It's done. Sin is done. It's over with. There's no more. You were not bound. They were not bound by the Philistines anymore. David wasn't bound by Goliath or his imposing, you know, stature or anything like that. He cut off that head, and Jesus has done that exact same thing in the battle for us. Is it hot in here? Like, I am roasting on fire. No, it's not. Like, I'm sure I've got, like, sweat, like, pouring down here. You might want to cut that out of the feed. I don't know that anybody would really want to know about that. But I'm just being real with y'all, you know? That's the anointing? That's what we're going with. It could be the coffee that's all down my front side, too. But, you know, it's kind of warm. It's kind of warm. Yeah. Yay. What's that? Never let it. Hey, if I lifted my arms right now, oh, I'm telling you what. Like, you would know. So don't get me too excited. It's all. Well, thank you. But in this battle, especially this one with David and Goliath, and as a type and shadow of Jesus as well. David did for Israel what they couldn't do for themselves. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We've tried. Israel tried over and over and over again. We try over and over and over again, and we couldn't do it. We can't do it without him. It's how it's designed to be. We need him. We absolutely need him. And when we realize and take a full grasp of this is who God is, This is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus has done. This is who we are in him. Change our lives completely. Change our lives completely. One other thing that I wanted to point out in chapter 17. I don't know why I put it at the end of my notes, because it was really good. Would have been a really good filler right in there. But in chapter 17, verse 52, if I can find it. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. Do you know what that word Ekron there means? Total eradication, total annihilation. It's a type and shadow of Jesus completely. He pursued sin, he pursued the enemy, and he took care of it head on and completely eradicated it. That's what David did for the Israelites and what the Israelites ended up finishing off, and that's exactly what Jesus did for us. The battle is done. And here in a minute, I'll give you an example of what our actual battle is now. Let's see. Of course, we go through history, and you know, Israel still kind of does their thing, which, I mean, we all know that there's times where we still do our own thing. We don't always get it right 100% of the time. Israel definitely didn't. But I want to take you to Luke chapter 23. I'm talking a lot faster than what I thought I was going to. But that's all right. Luke chapter 23, we are going to go, I'm probably going to start at the beginning, and I'm just going to run through. If I can get there. Okay. In this story, which this is Jesus on trial. You know, after he's done, you know, basically 33 and a half years of ministry and of miracles and all of that, Jesus put on trial. This story is in all four of the Gospels, but I like Luke the best because it's the most detailed. So I personally like it. But you can find it in all four of the Gospels. It's typically the second to last chapter in each of the books. But here we see Jesus in front of a crowd, and there's a man. I always want to call him Babar, and it's just because of like kid stories. Remember Babar? It's like that elephant dude, you know, whatever. Thank you, children. But Barabbas, Pilate's in between them, and he's like, "You guys have a tradition. I'm going to offer you up these two men. Which one do you want free?" And he's like, "I find no fault in this man named Jesus. There is no fault in him whatsoever." Barabbas, completely the opposite. He was a murderer. He was a rebel. He was all of these different things. And it's such, only God could orchestrate this because it's so cool how he works this out. Barabbas is such an indication and such a visual whatever of basically us. We were Barabbas. We are Barabbas in that story. And you know, Pilate offers him up and whatever, and the crowd's like, "We want Barabbas. We want a free Barabbas." And how easy is it for us to look, or for Barabbas to look and be like, "Yeah, my people wanted me free. They wanted me free. It was the people that set me free," you know. When in reality, and we do that ourselves, it was this that set me free. This completed me. This did something for me. It wasn't the God who gave it. It wasn't the God who provided or anything like that. It was this thing. But when you step back and look, God put himself in that position, and he took it so that Barabbas physically could go free. And then he could take it so that he could spiritually be free. Now, whether or not Barabbas went on to accept Christ or do anything, I've not seen anything in there. But he was able. I love Barabbas enough. I'm gonna keep it, because we all know that Jesus could have just been like, "Hey, you know what? Take care of this. You know, I'm done." No, he loved Barabbas enough, all of us, because that's who we are, who we were before Christ. He loved Barabbas enough to let him go. Even in the midst of a battle that you don't know that you're in, God's still working. God's still working. Crying out. I don't sustain myself. I don't provide for myself. I don't save myself. It's all Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It'll never stop being Jesus. In any battle, we all face things. We all face different battles. Some of it's physical. Some of it's, you know, healing related. Some of it's, you know, emotional, mental, it's mindsets, it's whatever. The greatest battle, though, I believe, is the understanding, is coming to the understanding of exactly who Christ is, what he's done, and how we take that and live that out. Because when we get that, when we understand who we are, when we understand what God has provided, who Christ is, our identity in Christ, those other battles, even though they'll come, and even though that they're annoying, they might be problematic, they might be whatever, he's already taken care of it. He's already working it out. He's already working it through. The key to the battle, the key to victory, is Jesus. It's the love of an ever-present, all-knowing God wrapped up in human flesh. And it's knowing that it's not us, it's not what we do, but it's all about who he is. A few years ago, I was probably in one of the worst places I've been in my life. I got myself into a lot of stuff I didn't need to be in. A world of a mess. To the point where I tried filling that hole, whatever was going on, emptiness, the just shame, really, is what it was. Just trying to do anything that I could to eradicate that. And I remember being in a church service, and it was, we had worship going on, and, you know, I love worship anyway. But I remember being in that service and being flat on the ground, and I could not move. And it wasn't the Spirit of God, even though the Spirit of God was there. It was all of my shame. It was everything that I had been going through. It had been everything, because I was completely closed off to God at that point. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. But I heard God in that moment. And it literally took me. There was an altar call. And it took me. I had to crawl on the ground to the altar. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do. Because it wasn't just about, I mean, I knew that God was there. I knew that God would do something. I knew that God, but the guilt, the shame, and honestly, the pride was the hardest thing. But in that moment, by the time I got to that altar, it shifted like that. Because I came to the end of myself, and all I could rely on, all that I could trust in, all that I could do, was him, was believe and lean on him. And not too long after that, I brought this with me, which Pastor Darren gave this to all of us. It's been a while ago, probably like a year or two ago. the victory in the battle is Jesus. It's always Jesus. And the victory after the battle, staying in that victory, is still Jesus. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, this is one thing, and if you guys want copies, we can get you copies of this. Because we have it in our bedroom. And I look at it almost on a daily basis. And I might not spend a whole lot of time with it, but, you know, I am all these things because he is all these things, and I am in him. You know, I am a son of God. I am full of the Holy Spirit. I am free from sin. I am a slave to righteousness. I am a new creation. I am more than a conqueror. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am crucified with Christ, justified by faith in Christ, God's workmanship, hid in Christ, saved by grace, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, accepted in the beloved, and at peace with God. It's all him. It's always him. Before the battle, in the midst of the battle, after the battle, it's all him. That's all I wrote. So, if you guys have questions, I was going to, we don't have any kind of sound in here, do we? Nothing? What's that? I've got something on my phone. Can you plug it in there? Anybody who knows me, I've led worship for, you were just so handy to have around.
You can Bluetooth or plug in. You want to just plug in?
Yeah. Oh, look at that. And it like, this is so, y'all are like high techie. You know? Am I showing my age? Like, am I this old? Like, seriously? I am 31 as of last month. I'm just, thank you. Okay, so
higher
I just, okay, so okay, oh, okay, well, I'll turn it. One thing, anybody who knows me knows that I love just worshiping God. I love worship services, I love, in every aspect of it, not just musically. You put a drama or something, you know, and I love that. I love seeing, like, Uda dance, love seeing it. I just, all of these things, I love it. One thing that I wanted to do with you guys, and this might seem a little weird. I hope it doesn't. I don't think that it will. I found a song not too long ago, and it's really just one of those spontaneous worship kind of sessions. It's not like a scripted song, anything like that, but it's all about fighting the battle. And there's only like two lines in it, but it's one of the most anointed things that I've ever heard in my life. And so what I wanted to do is, I don't care if we want to, like, you know, spread out, if you guys want to do, you know, whatever. But whatever battle that you're going through, in the song they talk about, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And it's just through praising him. Because it's not our battle. It's not our battle. It's all on him. It's all his. Everything is his. And when we come to that, it makes it so much easier. Even when we feel like we're surrounded, and it says this in the song, even when we feel like we're surrounded by him. We are surrounded by him. And so I just wanted to take that time. Y'all want to, you know, whatever y'all want to do, I don't care. Like, that's you. However you guys want to worship. But just take that time and just give that battle to him. Whatever that battle is, like, you know, give it to him. Whether it's, you know, something that you're dealing with in your life, whether it's, you know, a mental process, like how you think, or if it's, you know, an addiction, or if it's, you know, something that you're physically that you're going through, or if it's, you know, all these things, just give it to him. Give it to him. So let me pull this up, and we'll do our thing. Is that okay with y'all? I mean, is that okay we do that? Okay. All right.